Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, everybody. Welcome to another episode of our show. Today, we're going to continue with part three of An Israelite Indeed. As we say every time we did this episode on An Israelite, it's really to address all the issues we see out there concerning these men bringing in false doctrine that's not according to scriptures. And this episode, part three, we're going to label it Beware of False Prophets. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Saying that, we're going to start with the scripture that speaks of false prophets. We're going to start with the book of Matthew's the 7th chapter. And like we were saying, is this topic is being hit not to offend anybody, even though people are going to get offended. Not to defame characters, even though characters are going to be defamed, but to do the will of the Most High, which is teach the children of Israel and make sure that they understand and that they can repent and have the opportunity to obtain salvation of the Most High God. You have anything you want to add, bro?
this topic right here is a topic that hits, like he said, it's going to hit kind of hard towards a lot of people out there, because the scriptures are coming out, and they're going to come out sharp, and they're going to offend a lot of people. But it is what it is, because even with Christ and his disciples, the scriptures came out, and they offended people. Why did these people get offended? I'm going to give you an example. Just like homosexuality, all right, you got gay lesbians, you got gays and lesbians, you got homosexual, you know, partners and marriages and things of that nature. And the scriptures tell you that you can't be that way. Mm-hmm. But yet they get offended when you bring the scriptures out about why a man shouldn't marry a man.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So this is the same thing that we're trying to say to people out there. When we talk about these scriptures today, it's going to offend some of you guys out there. Why? Because you're breaking the commandments of the Most High through Christ. That's why. So it's going to offend you. But what we're bringing out is all scriptures and any information that we obtain, you know, through our ministry, you know, as far as through our coming up in the gospel, then the scriptures are going to come out and dealing with certain situations that we encountered, and it is what it is.
Okay. So we're going to kick off with Matthew 7. And start at verse 13, please.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter ye in.
Sorry about that. Start at 15. I meant to say 15.
All right. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?
Yeah, so the scripture is letting us know, Christ has given us a heads up. He said, look, beware of false prophets. They may look like prophets of the Most High. They may be saying a lot of the right things, but he said you're going to know them by their fruits. Now, what he mean by fruits, he's talking about the things they're doing. I know there's a teaching out there that the fruits is referring to people you bring into the gospel. But when you check out the scriptures, it's not talking about people you bring into the gospel. It's talking about their actions, your actions, the thing you do. Mm-hmm. To prove that, I want to prove that because I know there's a misinterpretation of that scripture. When the scriptures talk about fruits, because I was out there, I was in the churches that thought that, and I know that's the understanding is fruits is talking about people that you're bringing in, but that's not what the scriptures is talking about. To prove it, we're going to hit a couple of scriptures. Go to 2 Ezra 9:30, the one we like. This is a scripture we like to use for this. We're going to use 2 Ezra chapter 9, verse 30 and 31.
2 Ezra chapter 9, verse 30. And thou spakest, saying, hear me, O Israel, and mark my words, thou seed of Jacob. For behold, I sow my law in you, and it shall bring fruit in you, and ye shall be honored in it forever.
So he said, I sow, meaning I plant my law in you, that it shall bring fruit in you, meaning the things you're doing, it shall bring fruit in you. The fruit that the law is supposed to bring in us is righteous works. As we learn the words of the Most High and we apply it, that's what makes us righteous, the application of the Most High's word. application of his commandments. That's why the scripture said, where shall a young man cleanse his ways? Then it come back and say, by taking heed according to thy word.
Mm-hmm.
So the word, taking heed according to the word, is supposed to make you righteous. Give me another example of that. Get Jeremiah 32 and 19. Just want to hit a couple real quick.
32 and 19, you said?
Yeah, Jeremiah 32 and 19.
Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 19, it reads, great in counsel and mighty in work, for thy eyes are open unto all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings.
See, according to the fruit of his doings. He give everyone according to their ways and according to the fruit of his doings, meaning the things, the fruit of his doing is the things that he's doing. I'm going to pull out one more on it.
Let me just add to it while you
sure.
It. I just want to say this. I want to add to it while he's getting that scripture. For a lot of people that don't really understand, when you go back to the time of Adam and Eve, you see there was a fruit of wickedness back then. You know what I'm saying? And everyone talks about the apple that Eve bit into.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't an actual fruit. So it's talking about the fruit that we're bringing out is talking about your works. It was talking about your actions. But mm-hmm. first, you had to have the thought first before you gave into that fruit. It was like the seed being planted and then now it's starting to grow in you. So it's the same thing. That's what the Most High is looking at, your fruit and what's growing in you. It's either evil that's going to grow in you or it's going to be good, which is the law through Christ that's going to grow in you. And that's what we're bringing out.
Okay. Another example is, before I read this one, this one's Philippians, the first chapter. Another example is when John the Baptist, when he was baptizing, he told the Pharisees, he said, oh, generation of vipers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who warned you of the wrath to come? Then he told them, bring fruits meet for repentance, meaning
right
for repentance, meaning your actions. If you're going to say you're going to repent and you're going to be baptized, your actions got to be right for that. You can't say you're going to do it and continue to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when he tells them, bring fruit that's meet for repentance, he's basically telling them, your actions have to be equal to your words.
Mm-hmm.
Stop being evil. Stop bearing hatred. Stop doing all the wicked things you're doing to the people. And do works of righteousness. That's basically what he was telling them. So when it talks about fruits, it's talking about your actions. And this is the last one to top it up. If you don't get it, then, you know, Lord's will, you know, in the future, if the Spirit of the Most High wills, you'll understand. Philippians, the first chapter, read verse 10 and 11.
Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God.
See, being filled with the fruit of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's letting us know straight up that the fruits it's talking about is the things you're doing.
That's right.
You know, the things you're doing. So when we go back to Matthew's 7, we're going to read it one more time. Matthew 7.
Matthew
15.
Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit.
So that's the thing we want to show. We want to look at the things that these men are doing. Are their fruits, are their works corrupt?
Mm-hmm.
Or are their works righteous? Because we see a lot of things that's going on and a lot of actions that's going on that's corrupt. And one of the things I want to address, I don't know if you want to jump in now or let me hold up or you want me to jump right in it. Because I had a few scriptures that I wanted to address about brothers taking money,
yeah, that's fine.
And making merchandise of this truth. You know what I'm saying? Acting like the truth belongs to them. You know, that's why the scriptures say, buy the truth, sell it not. When it talks about buy the truth, it's talking about you give up the things. Because when you buy something, you buy something is usually taking something that you have and giving it in exchange for something else. That's buying. So the Most High is telling you to take the things, the cardinal things of this world that you lust after. You're going to take those things and you're going to give it. And in return, he's going to give you understanding and give you the word. Give you understanding in the word. You're going to grow and understand. That's why it talks about that Holy Spirit. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall send you another comfort. Well, the comfort is talking about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit shall guide you into all truth. Mm-hmm. It's not talking about this man that's living in Harlem talking about he's the comforter. He is not the comforter. The comforter, all of us are entitled to that. It's not one person. The Most High, that's why it talks about that the more we shall all be taught of the Lord. The way we're being taught is because the Most High is the one that's opening up our minds and teaching us. As we begin, as we apply the scriptures, he's giving us more and more understanding.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it also talks about that scripture we read. I don't know if we read it on the last show, but it talks about one man planted, another man watered, but God give it the increase.
Yeah, we did talk about it.
He's giving that increase through that Holy Spirit. To the spirit that he's putting on you when you turn to him. When you return to him.
Yeah, there's a couple scriptures on that. You can study them yourself. When you look at Jeremiah 31 and 31, you can start there. Jeremiah 31, 31 talks about that new covenant that he's coming with. And then when you go to Hebrews 8 and 8, it talks about the new covenant that he's given to Israel and Judah. And that's what he's talking about. The law is going to be in our inward parts. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And how are we receiving that? Through the Holy Spirit. Not through no one man. He's pouring his spirit upon all of us. Man, woman, and child.
Mm-hmm. And the thing we're talking about with men making merchandise out of brothers and taking their money and using their money to support themselves, that's not scripture. We're going to read a couple of scriptures showing you that when they took money, when they collected money, the money wasn't in their pockets. The money went towards doing the work, or it went towards helping brothers and sisters that were in need. It didn't go to lace their pockets to buy buses or to buy nice cars and to pay their rent and to take care of their family. That's not what collecting money from the church, the offerings were for. The offerings weren't for men to lay on their behinds and live fat. I want to hit a few scriptures dealing with that. Let's go to Acts, the 20th chapter.
All right. Acts chapter 20. All
right. Acts 20, read verse 28.
Acts chapter 20, verse 28. And it reads, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he have purchased with his own blood."
So feed the church of God, meaning we're supposed to be teaching brothers and sisters repentance, how to get back to the Most High, what they did wrong, and how to change their lives and live righteous in the eyes of the Heavenly Father in Christ, through the understanding of Christ. And Christ purchased this church. We don't owe no man nothing. It's not men that's bringing you in. It's the Heavenly Father in Christ that's bringing you in, and that's feeding you and growing you in understanding. So it's our responsibility to take care of the flock. Read on.
"For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock."
And that's what's happening. Grievous wolves are entering in, and they're not sparing the flock. They doing things to offend brothers. They kicking brothers out for the smallest things. They backstabbing, backbiting, you name it, is going on.
Mm-hmm.
They have no consideration for the flock. And they judging brothers with unrighteous judgment. Kicking brothers out without going through the proper steps of Matthew 18. You know, they're not even dealing with Matthew 18. They setting up their own counsel and their own judgment and kicking people out. They taking money that they're not supposed to be taking.
Mm-hmm.
I want to read an example of them collecting money. From here, let's jump to Acts, the second chapter. And be real brief on this. Acts 2, read 44 and 45.
Acts 2, chapter 44. "And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as ever man had need."
So as every man had need, they parted their goods, they sold their goods, and they parted as every man had need. So nobody was lacking anything. Now, who was responsible for doing the parting? We're going to hold that again. Hold that. and go to 4th chapter, Acts 4. We're going to read 34 and 35 because it speaks about the same thing.
Acts chapter 4, verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need.
So they laid it at the apostles' feet. I mean, the apostles had all this money, right? All this money was given to the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
They took the money. Did they pocket the money is the question? Or did they distribute the money to everybody according to their necessities?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you go back to the second chapter, let's continue in the second chapter all the way down into the third chapter because it tells you what happened. Pick back up at 45 again on the second chapter.
Acts chapter 2, verse 45. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need.
Continue.
And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
So the Lord was blessing the church with more brothers and sisters because they were dealing righteously. They was getting more brothers and sisters that were worthy of salvation. All right? Well, read on.
So Acts chapter 3, verse 1.
Yeah, this is what happens afterwards. Go ahead.
Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us.
So now Peter noticed this man who was out there asking for alms after they had collected all his money and parted it to every man. Let's see what Peter says to this man that's asking for alms. Read on.
And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none.
What did Peter say?
Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none.
So wait a minute. How come Peter ain't got no silver and gold after he collected all his money? Because that money didn't lace his pockets. That's why. That wasn't his money. All right, read on.
But such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
So you see clearly that Peter wasn't holding the money. Peter wasn't holding the money. And we're going to read a couple more scriptures to show you. These brothers wasn't holding money for themselves. They weren't trying to become rich. They were not doing the work. The scripture said don't do it for filthy lucre.
Exactly.
You're not supposed to do this work for money. It's not yours. The Most High gave it to you. It's not yours to take it and make money out of it. It belongs to the Heavenly Father. It's not your work. You're not supposed to take it and take care of your family.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to go to work. That's what you're supposed to do. All right. I'm going to read a couple more scriptures concerning this, and I'm going to hand it over to you, brother. Go to Acts 45 real quick.
Acts what?
No. Sorry about that. Acts 3 and 6. Hold on. I'm messing up here. Give me 1 second. No, Acts 20.
All right. Acts chapter 20.
Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. Acts 20, 33.
Acts chapter 20, verse 33. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessity and to them that were with me.
So check this out. So Paul saying, look, I have covered no man's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands, his hands has ministered to his necessities, meaning the things he wanted. And there's plenty of scriptures. We could sit here and do a whole show about this. If any man don't work, he don't eat. Plenty of scriptures that tell us to work. You know what I'm saying? There's so many scriptures we can hit concerning working, man.
Exactly.
You got brothers out there that don't work and want to take money from the church. And we know there's a scripture. What's that scripture again? In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 9? where it talks about the ox. Matter of fact, let's hit that real quick, mm-hmm. and then I'll hand it over mm-hmm. to you.
Take your time.
1 Corinthians 9. This is a scripture they try to use to justify to take people's money.
First Corinthians chapter 9.
Verse 9, yeah, start at 9.
1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Do God take care for oxen? Or said he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes? No doubt. This is written, that he that plough should plough in hope, and that he that threshing in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffered all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ.
See, so the brother said, look, we didn't use this power to take your money, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. And it does hinder the gospel of the Most High mm-hmm. when people are taking your money and buying jets like we see Preflo and these other people are doing, because a lot of people are looking at that as, yo, is that necessary? You know what I'm saying? Or you got somebody like the comforter, the so-called comforter, buying a bus and putting his face on it like he's the one that's supposed to be exalted and lifted up. Mm-hmm. And he's just a man. You're not supposed to be taking the people's money and buying yourself a tour bus. That's ridiculous, man. That's being abusive. And you got, we heard about this video that's out there on YouTube with this one of the leaders of the GOCC, how he's taking money to take care of his family.
Mm-hmm.
Go to work, Negro.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, that's the example we learned from Christ. What did Christ do? Christ worked.
Yeah, he was a carpenter.
He worked. And that's the example he showed us.
And what was Paul? A tent maker.
Yeah, these brothers work. They work to take care of the necessities.
That's right.
That they needed.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, if you don't work, matter of fact, let's read that real quick. There's more on this? Any more you want to bring out? I know there's a lot more meat in here.
I didn't really want to touch none of that.
All right.
I was going to go to 2 Thessalonians. That's where you were going to go?
Yeah, go to that.
Yeah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Where you want to start at?
2 Thessalonians 3, read 10 to 12. Verse 10 to 12.
All right. Verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat.
See, if any would not work, neither should he eat. That was coming straight from the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
And how many brothers we got now not working, taking money from people to work? Taking money. And they're not even teaching you the things necessary for your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even teaching you what you need to do for your salvation. They're teaching you a bunch of man-made garbage.
And then they're getting paid off of you at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And twisting scriptures and having brothers go out there and be fornicators and all that. You know, putting false burdens on you. All right, you know, brother?
Verse 11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread.
Check that out.
Mm-hmm.
With quietness they work and eat their own bread.
Yep. Let me just bring out this verse right here. I want to read verse 9. Not because we have not power, just like you read a little while ago about that power to take money or to use the money for whatever we need to use it for.
Mm-hmm.
Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us.
Yeah, to be an example. Like, mm-hmm. And like I said, that's the perfect example that Christ set forth. Christ set forth that example.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? He worked.
Because out of all people, Christ is the one that we're supposed to be following. Now, if anyone wanted to use that, which a lot of men are abusing it, but if Christ himself wanted to use that, why didn't he? You know, he led by example by getting a job, by having a job.
Mm-hmm. And when you, matter of fact, let me read one more. Go to 1 Timothy 5. And when you look at, in the Old Testament, mm-hmm. the reason why the Levites used that, because the Levites, that was their job. Their job was to take care of the temple and take care of the people of God. They were basically the law enforcers. They were like the police department in the government. They ran the whole government.
Exactly.
If somebody killed somebody, it was their job to go get take care of it, to go to the city of refuge and get them.
It's almost like in today's time when they pay taxes and they...
Exactly. That's exactly what it was.
Exactly. And they use it towards the government, or supposed to be towards the government. But in this world, it's wickedness. They're not using it the proper way. But in the way it was set up back then, that money was used for the foundation, the government of Israel.
And not only that, it was also kept for the poor, for those that were poor and had need.
Exactly.
Which a lot of these churches that is collecting money ain't doing nothing for brothers and sisters that are poor or that's needy.
Mm-hmm.
They spending the money on themselves, and they don't give a two cents for the poor. And that's a crying shame. Now, when you go into the new covenant, the whole church is supposed to be ministers and servants of the Most High. The whole church is Levites, basically, because the whole church is preachers.
Yeah, we're all priests and kings.
Yeah, a nation of kings and priests.
Yep, there's a new thing in the earth. When Christ came with the new covenant, it became a new thing in the earth.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Now read 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, verse 8.
1 Timothy, chapter 5, verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel.
You hear that? So you're supposed to provide for your own.
Mm-hmm.
And you're supposed to provide for those in your house. You're supposed to take care of your children.
That's right.
Not somebody else taking care of your children for you, collecting money, sitting back on your behind.
Mm-hmm.
You supposed to do that. And we understand, yeah, if there's things like you got to pay for to show shows on Blog Talk, because these things cost money. Yeah, you collect money for that. If you have to make a special trip out of the country to minister, and you need extra money to do that because you don't, between taking care of your family and yourself, you don't have enough money. Yeah, that's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
But to take the money and pay your bills, pay your rent, and live and buy cars and all this stuff, man, that's wicked, man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're taking the money to pay rent for a building that you have as a church, that's understandable. But to use it for your own needs and take care of your family?
And to buy a bus with your face on it?
That's wicked.
That's nothing but glorifying yourself, man. That's all it is, glorifying yourself. And even getting that money is glorifying yourself. It's going into the same thing. You receiving that money, you glorifying yourself like you act like you deserve that money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You glorifying yourself, man, like you somebody. You ain't nothing. You understand? We sitting here in front of you today, we ain't nothing. We just a mouthpiece. You know what I'm saying? That's all we are. We're delivering a message to people that just didn't have it yet. You know, just because we received the message first, we ain't nobody. Because exactly. We could be removed right out of the way, just like Judas did. He was removed right out of the way, and what happened to his bishopship, you know what I'm saying? It was replaced. You know, look at King Saul. He was replaced. You understand? Mm-hmm. So we ain't nothing, and we ain't nobody. You abuse this gospel, you will be replaced. You ain't nobody.
And then even go back into the Old Testament. Brothers that was taking that money or getting money, the priests and them, that money wasn't for them. They weren't. Matter of fact, let me read this one more scripture. 1 Samuel, the 12th chapter, because Samuel said that. Samuel didn't take no money for himself or took money and became rich and all that stuff. The money went to the temple, man, and to the service of the Most High.
1 Samuel, you said 12?
1 Samuel 12, read 2 down to 5.
1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 2. And now, behold, the king walketh before you.
Because Samuel was asked, they wanted the king. So Samuel, the Most High, said, all right, give him a king. But the real king was supposed to always be the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
And the prophets like Samuel was supposed to bring forth the word of the Most High. Because we already got a king. And that's what a lot of men are doing now. They want to be the king. And a lot of brothers and sisters want a king. So they got to do like Comfy. They got to do like Nathaniel or do like a Tahar or somebody or up over them.
Yeah.
But we don't need no king. We ain't supposed to have no king. Our king is up in the heavens and he gave us instructions right here.
That's right.
And we deal with him directly.
That's
individually.
Right. That's right. Anyone over here, you see me and Hosh Yug sitting here right now, there is no king, man, but Christ. There is no man over this church over here like that but Christ, bro. We come together collectively and we do this thing.
Yeah, we brothers and sisters is what we are.
Exactly.
Right, go ahead.
So this is 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 2. And now behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old, and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood until this day. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed, whose ox have I taken? Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind my eyes therewith? And I will restore it you. And they said, thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day.
So he said he didn't take nothing from nobody, man.
You guys can't say that.
Yeah, y'all can't say that, man. Y'all oppressing people, man. Some of the stories we hear, man, you can hear it on YouTube, or you can hear brothers and sisters meet different brothers that came, or different sisters that came from different churches, man, and we hear the stories come back, and it's so sad, man.
It's real sad, bro.
How they taking people's check, and they taking people's money, and making sure you pay this amount out of your check, and, you know, taking 10%, some churches taking 20%.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not even in those things ain't even in the new covenant, man.
Yeah, where
taking
is it?
10% and all that stuff. That's not even in the new covenant. That was for the Levites, because the Levites didn't get no inheritance when the children of Israel got divided their lots. Their inheritance was the Most High, and they had, like we were saying, they had to take care of the people.
Mm-hmm.
But now you not no Levite. You don't take care of the people. You don't have. You don't deserve no 10%. You have your own inheritance, bro. You have your own jobs and things. You get your own job and you go to work, man.
Yeah, but also, bro. They took back in the Old Testament. They when they had to go on a long journey and everyone gave up their 10%. Their 10% wasn't money.
Yeah, it wasn't money.
It wasn't even money. You know what I'm saying? It was the things that they had, like as far as oil or wine, or stock, or sheep, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They were giving up stuff like that. So then when they had to go on a long journey, they couldn't bring all that stuff with them. Then they turned it into money. And then wherever they went, because the scriptures tell you, wherever they went, then they bought everything with that money that was given to them in the beginning, mm-hmm, to distribute to whatever need people had. So it wasn't about the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It wasn't about the money. But in today's time, you know, we don't deal with it like that. So yeah, there's money being given for people to take that money and turn it into food, you know,
mm-hmm,
turn into necessity with certain things you need, you know. But people are abusing it. They're abusing their power, no different than the wicked kings of Israel. Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things out of many things that we're gonna cover that's making it obvious that these works are works of false prophets, man. These are evil works. They're bringing forth evil fruits.
Exactly.
By doing these things. And I know you had a few things you wanted to address, so go ahead.
Well, I'm going to start off with the scripture that we started off with. I don't know. I think it was the last show. Let's go to Matthew's. We were talking about it earlier on the phone. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16 anyway. And let's start there. That's how I want to start off.
All right.
Give a little recap on kind of like just basically hitting what he just hit, you know. But I'm going to hit this first before I take off. Matthew chapter 16, and let's read verse 6.
Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
All right. Now, what you just explained, brother, is that not leaven?
That's absolutely leaven, yeah.
That's absolutely leaven.
Mm-hmm.
So people got to understand, what does he mean by leaven? All right, so let's jump to verse 12, which we went over in part two. This is part three. But like me and the brother said, this might end up being like a Michael Myers or Friday the 13th type sequel. There's going to be so many parts to this, you know what I mean? So let's carry on. Read verse 12.
Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread.
So he ain't talking about bread. He's not talking about that. So the reason why I'm going to go real slow with this before we continue, and so people can understand and follow what you said and the things that we're about to say and things that we said in part two. That read that part one more time in verse 12. where I stopped you at. Go ahead.
Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread.
Because what happens with the leaven of bread, bro?
The leaven of bread is what makes bread rise.
Exactly. So it makes these things rise, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at this spiritually because that's what Christ is saying. He's talking about in the spirit. There's things that's going to rise among you. Read on, bro.
But of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees.
Yeah, because is that not rising among your so-called congregation and among other congregations that's out in this world?
Mm-hmm.
This leaven is rising all over the darn place. But the Most High is saying we're not supposed to deal like this. No man is supposed to receive this offering that was given for the church for people that's in need for you to live off of this money. That's leaven. That's doctrine of the Pharisees. And that's rising all over the place because a lot of people, that's why a lot of people want to be leaders, brother. Why do they want to be leaders of these churches? Because they know they can do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's too easy to receive monies. You see? But there's other things that rise in these churches too. We went in verse 2 and we hit some of them. But I wanna move on and show you something real quick. Unless you want to bring something out before I move on.
No, good. All
right. When you look at the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because we're going to deal with one Pharisee right now. Let's go to, we talked about this earlier too. Let's go to Acts chapter 22. Or is it 23? 22. Yeah, Acts chapter 22. So yeah, we're going to go to Acts chapter 22. And deal with this this Pharisee right here. Start at verse 3. Should we start at the top? No, start at verse 3.
I am verily a man which am a Jew. Born in Tarsus.
So this is Paul. I'm sorry. This is Paul speaking. Read on.
I am verily a man which am a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Born in Tarsus, a city in Sicily. Sicilia.
Mm-hmm.
Yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. And taught according to the perfect matter of the law of the fathers. And was zealous towards God, mm-hmm. as ye all are this day.
So this scripture right here, I'm just bringing out this point before we move on, because it's going to hit some of the things that the brother brought out, and also about the leaven of the Pharisees and the scribes and things of that nature. Gamaliel, he was a Pharisee. Basically, if you study and research this, you'll see that he was like, how could I say, like the president of the council. What do you call the council again? The Sanhedrins?
Yes, the Sanhedrin.
Yeah. So he was more or less like part of that council, but yet some of them labeled him like the president of it or the head of it. Or in other words, he was an important figure at that time when it came down to that government that was set up. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So this man was someone to be revered. You know what I mean? And Paul was his student. He was taught under this Pharisee of Pharisees. You understand what I'm saying? So the reason why I'm bringing this out, I was telling this brother earlier that through the research that I researched on this guy, you will see that there was law set up, all right? And during the time of Moses, when the laws came in, during the time of Moses, when he went up and got the Ten Commandments, there's some people that believe that there was an oral law that was given at that same time, okay? This is what the so-called Jewish fables. When you see in the scriptures Jewish fables and stuff like that, the traditions of the elders, tradition of the fathers and things like that, a lot of these things have a lot to do with this, is what we're talking about, because a lot of these oral traditions and laws that was broken down from generation to generation, from rabbis to rabbis to rabbis, they had their own understanding of what the law should have been, or other laws that was implemented that had nothing to do with the commandments of the Most High God.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Gamaliel, he also was part of. And he also has a part in the Talmud, which the Mishnah is part of the Talmud, that there's an oral law in there. And he's also in there. And he quotes in so many words, I don't want to quote verbatim, but in so many words, he supported the woman when it was time for divorce. He supported the woman in a lot of cases. And in those cases, he supported the woman by saying that all they needed was one witness to execute judgment on the husband in order to put him to death so that woman could remarry. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But where is that in the scriptures? You can't find that in the scriptures. Because in the scriptures it says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses shall a man be put to death for whatever act he committed. It has to be under two or three witnesses or more. You see? But this, through the oral law, some people looked at his oral understanding of the law and they followed his way. And this is what's happening to a lot of these churches today. Just like these things that we're finding out now by a lot of these people in your so-called congregation or your movement or your Israelite movement or your Christian movement or whatever movement there is out there. If it's contrary to the scriptures, then you're just basically following the oral law of your leader. That's all you're doing. So I'm just trying to bring this point out because Paul was also underneath these teachings. And I'm going to show you something, though. You want to bring anything up?
Well, that's why when you look at what Christ told him, he said, you made the commandments of God void by your traditions.
Exactly.
Because that's what they did. They took their traditions and...
In fact, we'll go to that.
Yeah, let's read that.
Let's go to that because that was part of where I want to go to. I want you to read this part, though, before, if you want to bring out this point in here. If you want to bring out a point. Go to Matthew chapter 15 real quick. Because there's a couple things that... See, a lot of people don't do their research to find out, you know, what the Jewish fables are and what the oral law is and what's in and what's contained in the oral law. Because there's certain things, just simple little things that you wouldn't even think of. Like when they wash their hands, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They have to grab the bowl of water with the right hand, pass it to the left hand, pour the water over the right hand, pass it back to the right hand, pour the water over the left hand. That's the proper way that they got to follow these things. This is like an oral tradition. Same thing with what? Putting on their shoes. Remember they had to put their, I forget which shoe they got to put on first again. it's the right shoe I think they put on first, if I'm not mistaken. Then the left shoe. then go back to the right and tie the right shoe and then go back to tie the left shoe. Some old stuff like that. I forgot how the order is. But the whole thing is that they have all these different traditions that they follow. You know what I'm saying? And these are some of the things that we have to understand in the scriptures, that these are traditions of men. So in today's time, there's traditions of men that's being pushed and forced out there that a lot of people don't understand. Mm-hmm. Because if you go to the scriptures, where's that at?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So let's go to Matthew chapter 15.
We can start at 1 on this.
Yeah, that's where I want to start at.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then came Matthew 15 and 1.
Mm-hmm.
Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders?
Stop there, because that's the point. Why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? Are you serious?
But you know, that's what's happening right now in a lot of these Israelite churches. It's like traditions that were set up mm-hmm. from one West.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's holding these traditions and they separating themselves into all these little groups.
Yep.
And they holding up these traditions that was from one West. But yet, when you go into the scriptures, you're like, why are we even teaching this?
It's not
when you go into the understanding of Christ, you're like, why are we even doing this? Exactly. Because it's not in here.
Exactly.
But yet, if you don't do it, they're looking at you like you're wicked. You're not a true Israelite.
Exactly.
But that's not what y'all doing ain't a true Israelite. Because a true Israelite is in Christ.
The 12 tribe breakdown, you know what I'm saying, with the 12 tribes. We talk about it all the time with the mm-hmm. sticks and the 12 tribes and all that. It's going into the same thing, the tradition of the elders.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't really understand. You can't really prove who the tribe of Judah is. You really can't prove who Benjamin is. You really can't. And you don't want to go there with us because if you really want to, we'll start bringing out information to show you that them are traditions of the elders, man.
Well, since you said it, I would just want to say something, you know, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Over 400 years ago,
mm-hmm.
or let's say approximately 400 years ago in slavery, the amount of slaves that was brought to the United States, which they say are Judah, you got 10 times as many of them went to Brazil.
That's crazy.
For every one that came here, 10 went to Brazil.
Now follow what he's saying, though. Just follow what he's saying. Go ahead.
This is like 400 years. Being over there for approximately 400 years, in the blending in with people in that area, over here blending in with people in that area, not only that area, you go to Mexico. More was bought. They said more was brought to Mexico than here. More was brought to Peru than here. More was brought to Cuba.
Now, what do you mean Hayden. By who was brought where more than here?
Slaves from Africa.
I want to make sure, I want to emphasize this so they can follow what we're saying. But yeah.
These places are filled with slaves from Africa. That's been there, people that has been there for over 400 years.
That's
Dominican
right.
Republic.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you look at the history, you say Judah, Benjamin, Levi went down into Africa. And all these tribes went into South America. Different parts of South and North America. Millions of them bought there. And you're going to say which... there's so much history in that can be disputed, but let's not even go there. Just go into the fact that the Most High said he would scatter them among every tongue, nation, and people. And when you look at that sign, you don't see every tongue, nation, and people there. So you cannot pinpoint, nobody can pinpoint what exact tribe they from. You may say, yeah, Judah came to America. You may say the Levites, tribe of Levi went here. You may even say the tribe of Simeon, Gad, Naphtali went into these different areas. But if you examine history from that time of slavery all the way down to now and the migration of people and the intermingling and all that, you cannot pinpoint, nobody can pinpoint their tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they were coming out of ancient Babylon, the Levites, that couldn't prove their genealogy, couldn't even practice being a Levite. Couldn't even practice the office of a priest because you can't prove your genealogy.
Check that out.
So now if you can't prove your genealogy, how are you going to practice saying that you of this tribe? You can't say which tribe you are. The only thing that you know, because the Most High has opened up your understanding, because he's the one that's gathering Israel. The only thing that you know is that you are an Israelite. That's the thing you know. Reason you know that is the reason the scriptures give, because he opened up your mind to receive the understanding of the gospel.
That's right.
And he's bringing you back in because he's gathered Israel. That's the only way you know that. That's why he said, go out and teach all people. And he's going to gather his Israelites from among all people. He's going to do the gathering by opening up their minds to receive the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't say, yo, this is an Edomite and curse him out. We don't know he's an Edomite. We can't say this man is this man is that. Because you don't have that power. And you can't say this man is this tribe and this man is that tribe. All you're doing is causing more division and cliques and all this.
Yeah, a lot of confusion. Man. A lot of confusion, too.
Just be happy you're an Israelite.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we kind of jumped off the...
No, but nah, it's still part of the tradition of the elders. It's still the same thing. It ain't like we're jumping anywhere. It's all the same thing. But I don't really need too much more of this unless you want to bring out the point. I want to bring out...
There's a lot of...
It's a whole lot. But I want to bring out a couple other points and jump to that also shows you that they're perverting judgment and being judgmental, passing judgment, not showing mercy. All these things are tradition of the elders where Christ did not enforce.
Mm-hmm.
You want to bring out more on this?
Matter of fact, one of the things here, which is a tradition, it says, but he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions?
Exactly.
And basically, he's saying what this brother was saying is that the Pharisees had their own things that had nothing to do with the commandments of the Most High.
Absolutely. It was the oral law.
Yeah, these laws, the Mishnah and all this other garbage that even the white Jews are keeping right now, the fake Jews are keeping that.
Mm-hmm.
These things had nothing to do with the commandments of the Most High. And that's why, like the scriptures tell us, do not go into endless genealogies.
Mm-hmm.
When you're trying to go into tribalism, that's going into endless genealogies. Now you bringing up the tradition of the elders to go against what the scriptures is saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that you cannot prove. You can't even prove, but yet you want to go into that. You can't prove it, as the scripture says, as it is written, so that may be justified in thy sayings. You can't go in here as it is written and prove exactly where you came from. You can't do it.
You can't find that in the scriptures like that.
So you're going into your own traditions. And you transgressing the commandments of the Most High.
But we know what you're going to say. Because we used to say it. Oh, it's spiritual, Ock. It's spiritual, Ock. You just don't understand. You got to be spiritual to understand it. Yeah, all right. Prove it to me spiritually according to the scriptures so I can understand it. With the history, you can't prove that, bro. You ready?
Yeah.
Or you want
to... Now, if you want to move to something else...
Yeah, because we short for time anyway, right. And the point's going to come out. The point's coming out. It ain't like I want to drag that point out. Let's go to Acts chapter 23. Because we just want to bring a couple points out, because I know it's important to bring these points out. Acts chapter 23. And let's start at verse 1.
And Paul earnestly beholding the council said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day."
Stop there. So Paul is basically sitting in front of the council speaking for himself, defending himself. You know, bringing out points that needed to be brought out about himself.
Mm-hmm.
So let's read that one more time so they can understand who he's in front of. He's in front of who right now? He's in front of the so-called leaders at that time, the Jewish leaders at that time.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he's in front of. So read it again.
And Paul earnestly beholding the council and mm-hmm. said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in good conscience before God."
In all good conscience.
"I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day."
Ain't that a great thing to say?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with saying that. Read.
"And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth."
What? Why did he smack him on the mouth? What did he say that was so wrong? I'm bringing out a point. You're going to know where I'm going with it in a minute. Read on.
"Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee."
God shall smite you. God shall smack you in your mouth. And why is Paul saying that? Read.
"Thou whited wall."
Because that whited wall is going right back to the Pharisees, right? When you see the scriptures that they appear to be beautiful outwardly, but inwardly you full of hypocrisy and all iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously what you telling him to smack me for? You appear to be righteous. You appear to be doing God's work. But you giving this kind of command? You giving this kind of order? Read on.
"For sittest thou to judge me after the law."
Wait, hold up. You're trying to judge me after the law, meaning the scriptures.
Yeah.
This is what a lot of you so-called leaders out there think y'all doing. Y'all think y'all got the Bible and you judging the people. But when a man stands up for himself like Paul did, and it was like, "Yo, you sitting in the seat, but prove it to me according to the scriptures that I'm guilty. That, so you can smite me in my mouth, or you can pass judgment on me. You don't have no proof according to the scriptures, but you doing what you want to do anyway because you sitting in that seat."
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And that's what a lot of you dudes out there is doing. But see, we on to you. You understand? Because we've been among people like you. But a lot of those people that's not aware of your doings, they fall for the okie doke. That's like we did in the beginning. But we're out here, and that's why we're bringing this out, and we're going to show more things and bring it out, okay? So people could be aware of these false leaders, man, and these false prophets that you so-called give homage to, all right? And give all your money to, all right? And all your honor and glory. You glorify these dudes like they Christ, man. But they're not following the laws of God, man, just like this man right here. So read verse 3 again.
"Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law and command me to be smitten contrary to the law."
Contrary to the law. I mean, there is no law for you to smack me for me saying that I have a good conscience before God unto this day. You going to smack me?
Hmm.
This is why we're bringing this out. Like I like to bring it out nice and slow. Clear to be understood. I'll start off with the scripture first before I take off where I'm about to go. So I can lay the foundation down saying, if anything is contrary to the law, I don't care what man it is that's sitting in your congregation, man. I don't care who he is or how much honor you're trying to give him. If you read the scriptures and you notice that he's defrauding you, and you notice that he's offending you, you have every right to address that issue according to the law of the Most High God.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he's dealing with you contrary to the law of God, he's going to have to answer to God. But a lot of you individuals are allowing people to continue conducting themselves this way among you. And the scriptures tell us that we're supposed to what? Teach this so people could repent, man. And so people don't fall for the okie doke and really be actually harmed and really wounded. And I can't make it to the kingdom by certain people like this, because then they lose faith and believe that there is no God because of men like this, brother. Mm-hmm. You know? You wanna add before I move on?
I want to read verse 4.
Okay.
"And they that stood by said, Revelest thou God's high priest?"
Mm-hmm.
So basically they're saying like you don't have the power You know, it shows you how the mind of the people were. Like, you don't have the authority to speak against somebody that's doing evil because he has a position of a high priest.
Yeah, you can't say nothing to him.
Yeah, but that's wrong.
That is wrong. That is wrong.
If somebody's doing wrong, you do have the authority to address that wrong or to challenge the wrong. If somebody's speaking something that's contrary to the scripture, you have the authority to challenge them. If they say telling you to do something that you feel is against the scriptures, you have the authority to tell them to show me that according to the scripture, that I'm supposed to do it that way according to the scripture. Because they're just a man like you. And they're your brother. They're not your king. Your king is in heaven. And that's who you're supposed to follow. So if anybody's telling you to do something that's contrary to the gospel, to your king, to Christ, you have the right to challenge that.
That's right. Let's go to Matthew's chapter 23 and bring that point out that I said. Matthew's chapter 23. So we could just bring the connection in it. That's all. Matthew's chapter 23 and verse 27.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, I always miss that word.
Yeah, me too.
Which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness.
Read.
Even so also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity.
Yeah, because a lot of these so-called leaders that's out here are the modern-day Pharisees, brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they so-called sit in this seat of authority and got a lot of people following them, but they're not dealing righteously according to the law. It's contrary to the law, all right? When they're dealing with judgment, they pass judgment. Because we know, we've been among brothers, man. And we've seen how it's been done, and it's still being done right now. And how do we know it's still being done right now? Because people are running to us and telling us what's being done. And guess what? It is no different than years ago when we used to deal with these brothers, man.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? They're doing the same tricks. They're doing the same thing. It's just different individuals sitting in that seat now. That's all. They're doing the same thing. So they got new members coming in, being dealt with unrighteously, man. And people are passing judgment on people. People are having respect of persons against people. And people are having hatred amongst the children of Israel. And it shouldn't be.
And they're teaching new members to do after them.
Exactly.
You know, they're teaching new members to judge the way they judge it.
Exactly.
Instead of teaching them scriptures. Because I'm going to give you an example on the scriptures where, for example, Matthew 18, where Christ talks about if a brother offends you.
Mm-hmm.
That you're supposed to go to that brother.
That's right.
Now, if you have a brother that's offended and he goes to an elder, and the elder don't tell him to apply Matthew 18, but the elder goes to another person. What's being sold there is discord is being sold. The reason why discord is being sold, because you are judging off a one-sided story.
That's awful, man. Absolutely terrible.
That's against the scriptures, man. That's never supposed to happen. Anytime somebody is offended, according to the scriptures, he's supposed to go to the person and address that person first.
That's right.
Point blank, period.
There is no in-betweens. There is no, this doesn't apply in every situation. It applies every time, brother.
That's the scriptures.
You can't not apply it. It goes for your wife, your husband, your children, your coworker, anybody. You got to apply it that way. In any circumstance.
And that's how you're going to keep the peace. That's how you keep peace, man.
Exactly.
By dealing with one another and being able to not only listen to a person, but also use understanding and also speak. You know what I'm saying? It's not just listening, it's speaking, it's understanding, it's using mercy.
It's all that, bro.
And things of that nature. And we're supposed to be able to communicate with one another, because the whole name of the game,
exactly,
is love, peace, and unity among brethren.
Exactly.
That's what it's all about. So
exactly.
Any type of judgment is set, and it's not about unifying one another in brotherhood, it's not a true judgment, man. Because we supposed to, it's just like if a brother in the church have a problem with this brother, I tell him to go talk to that brother. right. And become one with the brother again. But if I take his word and I go to another brother, another brother, another brother, now everybody's looking at this one brother all evil.
That's right. They're looking at me with an evil eye because they believe just one-sided story. They ain't even hear my side yet.
And then we pass a judgment on this brother. What are we doing? How is brothers becoming one again? We failed to heal the problem.
Exactly.
It's just like this kingdom. They give you a medicine to take away the pain, but they never heal the problem. They never take care of the problem. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You're supposed to take care of the problem by applying Matthew 18. That's how you take care of the problem.
Exactly.
And if somebody doesn't want to hear or don't want to repent and don't want to follow the scriptures and what the scriptures are saying, but saying to hell with you, I'm going to do what I want to do anyway, then that's leaven. That's sin that's in the church. And that person got to be removed because they're going to cause confusion and malice in the church. But we have to apply the steps first. Mm-hmm. Brothers are supposed to be able to approach each other. And a lot of reasons why brothers can't approach each other in these churches is because you got these dudes with captain of 10,000, captain of 5,000, captain of 12,000. I can't approach him. He's a captain. What? That's not what the Most High is setting up here, man.
Where's that scripture at?
That's not the unity and unity of brethren, man. That's not unity. We all supposed to be approached one another, man. Ain't nobody above being approached.
That's why when you look into the word Pharisee, a lot of times when you do your research, you'll see that the Pharisees it really means separate or separated. And then also it goes into their hypocrites, you know what I'm saying? And they're self-righteous. That's what a Pharisee really is, because they all about them. They all about their set. You know what I'm saying? A lot of these people today in modern day, they live the same way as the Pharisees today back in that time. They live in the same way today, man. They think they're high and mightier than everyone else. And that's how the Pharisees thought, brother. They thought they was on a higher level than everybody else. They got them, and then you got everybody else down here. You understand what I'm saying? So that's the level they think they're on. So they think they could pass judgment on people, and it's just fine. But yet they wicked as hell. And it's proven that they wicked. You want to bring out something before I move on?
No.
I'm just going to hit it anyway. You know, even through the history of dealing with certain brothers or whatever, you got a scripture?
Yeah.
Dealing with certain brothers or whatever, just like, me and this brother used to deal with Nathaniel. We used to be part of Israel United in Christ at one time. And a lot of people, even if they check the shows what was the name of that show he did anyway? The history of Israel or something like that. I forgot what he did.
On YouTube?
Yeah.
The history of Israel, something like that.
Something like that. I forgot the name of it. And then he put the camera on us and he said we went into foolishness or went into the world or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he put the camera on me and how she yelled. This is what Nathaniel did. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this point out so you people can understand, especially those out there, you don't even know us, but there's some people that's part of Nathaniel crew right now, they know us. They dealt with us. They've been around us. All right? What evil did we do to you guys? What evil was done? My conscience is clear. I didn't do any evil to anybody. So to call us foolish and say these things is something that you putting a name and label on us when no one even heard our side of the story about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing no different than what a lot of these men do. You're part of a crew, right, that just push what you want to push and say what you say is golden. The hell would anybody else say what I say is golden because Nathaniel said it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It don't work like that. It don't work like that. And I'm going to give you an example. I'm just going to give you an example. I'm not going to go and tell the whole story, but I'm going to give you a little example. I was judged when I was part of Israel United in Christ at that time, which to me is called Israel Divided in Christ. It's not united. But he got his respect of persons with certain individuals because that's what he does. And his word is golden. If you dare cross him and you try to correct him in any form of the scripture whatsoever, there's a form of hatred that develops in his mind towards you because you're trying to correct him from the wrong that he's doing. I'm going to give you an example. Like, for instance, I was sentenced and I wasn't present. Mm. All right. I'm using this as an example. He knows the story, but I'm using this as an example. Even if I did wrong, which I ain't do no wrong, but let's say I did do wrong, though. And I didn't see it. Let's say I did do wrong, brother. Even in Esau society, you got a plaintiff, a defendant, you got a judge, you got the jury sitting there. Don't you supposed to hear both sides of the story?
Absolutely.
And even if so...
You're not only supposed to hear both sides of the story, but you're supposed to make diligent inquisition.
Exactly.
In the story.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Ask questions and everything, you know?
Exactly. And he didn't do that. And then on top of that, I'm giving you another example. I'm even talking about a person that's in bondage or a person that's in jail right now. Not even out in the world, brother. A person that's in jail, right? Don't even be sentenced by not going to court. They'll send, they'll get the dude from jail, bring him to court, and he has to go through the process in court, represent himself if he wants to, or get a lawyer to represent him. But he's present in court.
If they don't have a lawyer, they're going to appoint a lawyer.
So
because he has to have his say-so, and his say-so has to be with knowledge and understanding of what he's saying. That's why they give him a lawyer, so he can't just be saying and doing things against himself. You know what I'm saying? That way he has a fair trial.
Exactly.
And if you don't give him a fair trial, he can get over on a mistrial.
Exactly.
Because he wasn't treated properly.
But that's the point, brother, a fair trial.
Yeah.
How is an individual in this world going to be sentenced a judge in the court of law, and he hasn't even sat in the court of law yet? You didn't even hear my side. And plus, I wasn't even present when judgment and the sentence was put down from Nathaniel. How does that make any sense? Like, and there's many witnesses that was there, brother. It is not a lie. Many witnesses was there when this took place. So all I'm saying is, even if I was found guilty, could I at least represent myself and tell my side of the story? Could I even be present? Instead, I get a phone call. Yo, brother. This was the judgment from Nathaniel. What? Tell me that ain't wicked as can be. But this is why I'm trying to tell you. A lot of you people don't understand. That's why I don't have to go and tell the story, you know, play by play. But if we have to, we'll do another show and we'll do that. But I'm just letting you know that there's witnesses set up. More than two or three witnesses was present when this took place, brother. So this ain't a lie or someone that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And there's other stories to tell as well.
Many stories, because we have so many brothers in the church that know this guy.
Exactly.
And everybody has an evil report.
Exactly.
That everybody that knew him or that was part of a congregation that he was part of.
Exactly. So there's more than two or three witnesses. There's several witnesses, man. Several stories, several witnesses, how he just, you know, deal unrighteously with brothers and sisters, okay? And he passed judgment a lot. So he's not following the scriptures. He's just like a Pharisee. So there's other individuals, not just harping on this brother, but there's other individuals out there like the Tahars and the General Yohannas and things of that nature. And how do you know that they're not right? Because of the things that they put out. They witness against themselves. Mm-hmm. When they say things like, we command all Israelites to come underneath, you know what I'm saying? General Yohanan. Like, what? What scripture is that?
There's no scriptures on that.
There is no scripture. The Comforter. We got to come to this dude. If we ain't part of his establishment, we ain't in the truth. Then you got Tahar in him. If we ain't down with them, we ain't in the truth. Like, what the hell? You won't hear us say that. You won't hear us say that. Because the Most High is dealing with who he's dealing with, man. By himself. We don't even have to know each other. Because it's all over the world that we're dealing. And when Christ comes back, he's going to bring us all together, brother. So some people we're not going to meet and we're not going to know. But it does not mean that the movement's not happening out there with other people. They don't have to come underneath us or be part of our establishment or part of our the BOCC or the Body of Christ Church. It doesn't work like that, man. There's going to be people out there that's set up by the Most High God that we never met before, man. Don't that make sense to you guys? So that's the point that we're trying to bring out. I want to bring out some more scriptures. While you want to bring that one out first?
Yeah, this is the one where I was saying we're supposed to be able to correct one another.
Exactly.
Nobody's above correction.
Mm-hmm.
This is Colossians 3rd chapter verse 16. You know, nobody's above correction because that's what's going to make us better. Correction isn't an evil thing, man.
Mm-mm.
Correction, when you read the scriptures, correction is love.
Mm-hmm.
That's true love. But a lot of brothers take correction as hatred because they're scorners.
Exactly.
You know, they're scorners. A lot of these so-called leaders are scorners. They don't want to be corrected. And you can't correct them because if you correct them, they're kicking you out of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that according to scriptures? No. Go ahead, read that for me.
Colossians chapter 3?
Yeah, verse 16.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it reads, Let the word of Christ, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
So it says teaching and admonishing one another. That means we're teaching each other and we're correcting each other.
That's what it means.
And that's what we're supposed to be doing. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's love. That's true love.
Exactly.
That's all I have.
Yeah, but that's beautiful. But this is why I'm saying, when you got men that's sitting in these seats and you can't correct them, something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with that. That's how can we bring out what we're bringing out. If you're part of an establishment that you can't speak for yourself and they constantly talking over you, you in the wrong spot, man. Because God ain't a God of confusion. You got to hear both sides. I don't give a damn who you are. Both sides got to be understood. And if this so-called elder of your church isn't righteous, it has to be exposed. And it has to be brought out. And judgment has to be put in. Okay? Judgment and correction has to take place. Period. You ain't too high to be corrected, homie. That's just the way it is, man. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter who you are. All right? Let me go to Proverbs chapter 17 real quick. Proverbs chapter 17. Just bring this point out. Because a lot of judgment is being put down, man, that is wicked as hell, man.
And when you see a church and you see the two main leaders crashing, that's a big sign there, man.
Yeah.
Because if leaders of the church are supposed to teach you how to unite as brothers and sisters, how the hell the people that's supposed to teach you how to deal with each other and resolve issues with each other and teach you brotherly love and brotherly kindness gonna crash?
Mm-hmm.
That means they're hypocrites, like he said about the Pharisees. He said in Matthew, what is it, Luke, is it 18:1? In one of the chapters in Luke is where Christ says, beware of the leaven of the Sadducees and Pharisees, which is hypocrisy.
Sure.
Hypocrisy means they teach you one thing and they're doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
Because if somebody that's teaching is supposed to be applying. And the main thing we're supposed to be teaching is healing our people, teaching them how to deal with each other, how to love one another, how to resolve issues with each other. That's what the scriptures are showing us. If you got a problem with a brother, how you approach him and talk to him? How are you supposed to lesson when a brother approaches you? Because that's part of the admonishment. That's part of the correction. Because if he doesn't tell you that you're doing something wrong and you continue to do it wrong, then sin, you continue in sin.
Exactly.
But if he corrects you, you can make that correction and change and stop being a sinner.
Exactly.
So he's helping you make it into the kingdom of the Most High.
That's a beautiful thing.
It is beautiful.
The story of Job. When that brother Elihu corrected Job, and he was a young brother. This brother, Job was, man. In his time, he was a man to be revered and respected, man. And he finally took correction, but he was self-righteous for a long time through that whole story. But he finally was corrected.
Yeah.
And then what happened to him? All the blessings started coming his way, man.
But imagine if he couldn't take that correction, if he got offended.
He wasn't going to make it to the kingdom.
And that's what be happening. Dudes get offended and they split.
Yeah.
But if they mature men in the scriptures, they supposed to be able to hear each other out, find out who was wrong, and whoever was wrong, repent. There's nothing wrong with being wrong. We all wrong at times.
So what?
But it takes a man to acknowledge he's wrong.
Exactly.
And to make the changes. Exactly. And apologize and make the corrections so you don't do it again to another brother.
Exactly.
And that's what it's all about. So when two leaders crash and separate, that's a terrible thing, man. That means they're not really dealing with the understanding of Christ, man.
Mm-hmm. Something's wrong with that picture.
Something's very wrong, man.
Well, matter of fact, hold that I gave you and go to the history of Susanna. I want to bring out these two scriptures real quick before we go to this scripture. Because this is what's happening to a lot of you so-called, as they call, because we don't call them that, regular members. You call them regular members. You bunch of foolish leaders, man. Just watch this, man. History of Susanna.
All right.
Yeah. So the point I'm trying to make is that you call an individual a regular member, like like he's underneath you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He ain't on your level. So a lot of times when correction is taking place, and let's say this so-called regular member is trying to correct you, or this so-called regular member is in the midst of some kind of offense between one of you guys, the majority of the people, if not all the people, are going to listen to who, brother?
The head honcho.
Exactly. The elder, the head of them all. They're not going to listen to this regular member. But that's the spirit that y'all put on a lot of these people to look at. That's wicked as hell, man. I don't give a damn who you are. You got to be judged righteously, man, with a righteous balance. That's how the Most High deal with righteous balances, people. He don't deal with, he don't give a damn how high a so-called honor and noble your ass think you are. It don't mean nothing to him. Mm-hmm. All right?
There's no such thing as a regular member.
Nah, I don't know who. That's another thing, a tradition of the elders. You know what I mean? That's another thing, all right? So let's go to History of Susanna, right? And let's go to verse 41. We're just going to go to two verses unless you want to bring something out once I bring this out. Go to verse 41.
Then the assembly believed them as those that were the elders and judges of the people. So they condemn her to death.
Okay, so I'm going to the scripture. I'm just going right to the point. Yeah, I'm just going right to the point. Because when you got time, you could read this whole story. How she was judged unrighteously. You know what I'm saying? And it was the elders themselves that dealt with her unrighteously. But you got to read the whole story. They just wanted to sleep with the sister and try to scheme and get sex from the sister. And she refused to do that. So now the elders, since they set up and they pushing this, that she wanted to have sex with them. You know what I'm saying? Or no, I'm sorry. Let me scratch that. That she got caught having sex with another man. Remember in the story?
Yeah.
This is what they're saying in the story is that they seen her with another man. All right? Now you got to read the story and you see what I'm saying. But the elders made up a lie because they want to sleep with this woman. And she didn't want to, you know, give them sex or whatever. So read that one more time.
Then the assembly believed them as those that were the elders and the judges of the people.
So they believed that whatever word that came out of the elder's mouth was going to be honored over anyone. These are the elders of the church, man. These are the head of the church. If he said it, it must be so. So if Nathaniel says that Dawah Yud and Hashi Yud is wicked or we're fools when we went out into the world, you're going to believe it. Because the elder said it so. So it must be so.
Yeah, they went into foolishness.
Really? Yeah, okay. Keep tuning into our shows and see how foolish we are. Come among us and see how wicked we are. See how we deal with our children, how we deal with our wives, and see how wicked we are. How we deal with brothers and sisters and how we teach and see how wicked we are. Go ahead and believe them if you want to. Read that scripture one more time.
Verse then 41. The assembly believed them as those that were the elders and judges of the people. So they condemned her to death.
So they already condemned her to death because of what someone else told them. Did you even hear this sister's side of the story yet? You know what I'm saying? You're already condemning her and you don't even know what really happened because you ain't do your what? Examination. And the next verse is going to explain it. Well, the next verse I'm going to. Jump down to verse 48.
Verse 48. So he standing in the midst of them said, are ye such fools?
Stop there. This is Daniel at the time. He's saying, are ye such fools to condemn this woman already? Read on.
Are ye such fools, ye sons of Israel, that without examination or knowledge of the truth, ye have condemned a daughter of Israel?
And this is what's going on, man. Because people just say what they want to say. They speak evil of brothers. They speak evil of sisters. But wait a minute. Did you examine this? Do you really have proof of this? You just hear one side of the story. You don't even really know the whole thing, man. But you're going to believe what you heard. But there are individuals that tell the truth, you know. There are individuals that tell the whole entire story from the beginning, the middle, and the end. And they don't leave out nothing. And then there's people out there that deceive the people and make them believe that the judgment is so. And that's what a lot of you wicked leaders do. And a lot of you so-called brothers that learn underneath them, you also repeat because you was taught by who? Your king. Because you wasn't taught by Christ.
And this is something that goes on in this world a lot, too. Not just in Israelite churches. Mm-hmm. Where it shouldn't be going on in Israelite churches because you're supposed to be dealing with the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
But the world, they're in ignorant, man. They're constantly hearing things about somebody.
Mm-hmm.
They condemn the person because they heard one story. And then that doesn't make it bad enough, but now they're going to tell other people the story.
And they spread it more, oh my, to everybody.
With never approaching the person and making an examination of what really happened. You know what I'm saying? You could never judge anything with a one-sided story, man.
That's wicked. That's like kindergarten stuff, man. You should know that.
Yeah, that's foolish, man.
Come on, man.
That's foolishness, man.
You lunching when you think that way. Let's go to...
And that's how these churches are operating, man. Mm-hmm. That's how they operate.
Now let's go to Proverbs real quick. See, according to mine, I did mine too late. I don't know how much time we got. I did mine too late.
What's scripture in Proverbs?
Proverbs 17.
Got 10 minutes.
All right, cool. Proverbs chapter 17. Sorry, this is about accurate. Almost the same. I done forgot what verse, bro. Verse 15.
Okay. He that justified the wicked, and he that condemned the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord.
You're dealing with abominations, man. Now, you want to flirt around with abominations? I think you sharp enough to know the scriptures, brother, that abominations is bad, man.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very bad. So when you say and justify the wicked, okay, because part of my judgment in the sentence that I received from Nathaniel, also Barak did the same thing. Like, the same identical thing, okay? His daughter was involved in the issue with my little son. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. My older son got involved. You say my house is out of order because of what my son did, and Barak's son did the same damn thing.
His daughter,
did the same thing. Same thing! But his house ain't out of order, though. I mean, he that justified the wicked and condemned the just. I mean, if I'm sentenced to be wrong, which I know I wasn't wrong, by the way, but let's say I was wrong. But he did the same thing I did, brother. Should he not also be judged the same? So that by itself shows you that something's wrong there.
Respect the person.
But these are the things that I'm just giving you a little bit of insight on what I've been through with dealing with Israel divided in Christ. So these are the things that you got to understand and watch out for. And there's a lot of other sets out there that are doing the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing different, bro. And how we know that he's still doing the same thing? Because like we said earlier, we've been hearing about these things recently, more and more things. You would think that a person would change and repent. No, he's doing the same thing. When you're a child, you do childish things, man. You know what I'm saying? You think as a child, you do things as a child. But when you become an adult, you put away these childish things. He has never grown to adulthood. And other leaders haven't either, though. It ain't just him. But we're using it as an example. And then where it says even they both are an abomination, because you can't justify the wicked. When they wicked, they can't be justified, man. When the elders of Israel were wicked, they were elders, they were leaders in the time of Susanna, where they try to condemn her to death. They were found guilty as charged. Once they examined the truth and Daniel brought it out, they had to be dealt with. They were dealt with. You understand what I'm saying? No different than you elders out there that call yourself elders anyway. You have to be dealt with when you found out wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be dealt with. You can't run from it. You can't justify yourself because that's an abomination, bro. That's an abomination, man. And then you can't condemn the just. He or she is bringing information that's showing that I don't know what you're talking about. By the way, you didn't even hear me yet, and I'm already condemned. That's so wicked, bro. So is this something that gives you food for thought? Because I'm pretty sure a lot of people out there are feeling this, are seeing this, are either dealing with this kind of thing in your so-called Israelite movement or any other movement out there, if I will. If you see this kind of spirit, you need to get up out of there, man. First of all, you should try to correct them. If they're not dealing with correction, it just proves my point. So I know we're short for time, but let me get this scripture before we close out. Another scripture real quick. Let's go to the Apocrypha. Ecclesiasticus, the one we always go to when we deal with people that speculate and assume things, you know what I'm saying? Ecclesiasticus chapter 3. And then if you want to pull out a scripture before we close out, that's cool. So this is an important scripture to go to after dealing with what we just brought up.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to go to this scripture and then I'm going to jump up. I'm going to go to verse 24 and then I'm going to jump up. So let's go to Ecclesiasticus chapter 3, verse 24.
For many are deceived by their own vain opinion.
So a lot of people are deceived by their own opinion of what they thought happened or what they think happened or what's going on. You know, they're deceived by their own opinion. You just can't run with your mind and your own opinion. They call that like the intuition that an individual gets. You know, they might have that feeling like, you know what? I think I'm on point, man. I think she lying to me or I think he lying to me. But you don't have no proof, so you can't say that they're lying to you.
That's the reason why you're supposed to approach somebody and talk to them.
Exactly.
But a lot of times when you don't approach somebody and talk to them, you don't know their intentions.
Exactly.
So you're assuming
that's the point,
what their intentions are because you never spoke to them. And what happens when you don't speak to them and you're assuming what their intentions are is Satan's playground. You know what I'm saying? Because now, you know, the scriptures say that it speaks about how anger rests in the bosom of fools.
Mm.
Wow. Rest means that it ain't going nowhere. Angry is like kick back.
Yeah.
Because you ain't resolved the issue. Now your mind is playing tricks on you and you thinking this, you thinking that, you thinking this, and now I'm going to get them back.
Exactly.
Judgment is coming down. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Now you came up with a judgment, but you never exercised Matthew 18.
Never did.
You never went and talked to the person. And that's something that happens a lot. You know what I'm saying? Either it's happening from you dealing with brothers unrighteously and then going out telling other people and other people running with their own and letting their minds run and thinking of this man did this man did that. And this is the scriptures one of the scriptures you're breaking right here.
Yeah, and read on, bro. Let's finish reading it.
It says, for many are deceived by their own vain opinion.
Yeah.
And an evil suspicion has overthrown their judgment.
So the judgment that a lot of people set forth in these churches, just like I said about Nathaniel, is that evil suspicion have overthrown your judgment. Because in your mind, you thought you had it figured out already.
Mm-hmm.
In your mind, you already got the answer. In your mind, you got the beginning, the middle, and the end. That's wicked as hell, bro. That's the evil suspicion you're running with. That's your opinion, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't examine Jack Diddley. Anyone that was around at that time knows how it went down. And even some of them brothers that's around you now, or sisters, they know that what we're saying is all true. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to explain to you and other people that are out here that are guilty of this, you can't have an evil suspicion and think something. You have to step to an individual and ask questions.
Exactly.
You know, you have to examine things. And it's funny because this brother Nathaniel is an officer, isn't he? Isn't he a cop?
Yeah.
Or a detective? What are you? But whatever you are, don't they train you to be a detective, to investigate? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You're supposed to investigate the truth. Meaning you're supposed to go out with your pad and pen and take notes. Because you're asking questions. You're examining what's going on. But when you don't do that and you have your own main opinion, and it's called speculation. When you're in court, right, and you're dealing with an individual, and you're trying to push this bull crap that you're pushing, what's the first thing the other lawyer gonna say? Your Honor, speculation. You know what I'm saying? They're gonna be like, speculation. It's not true. Where's your facts at?
Yeah, you're speculating.
You're speculating. And that's what a lot of these so-called individuals do. They speculate a lot, and you have an evil suspicion. But you have no facts. There's no facts.
Hey, let's hold that scripture. Let me pull this one out real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll read it. This is same book of the book of Sirach.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Ecclesiasticus chapter 11, verse 7.
Yeah, that's the scripture.
Oh, you're going to get that?
No, too? But that's all spirit. Go ahead.
It says, blame not before thou hast examined the truth. Blame not before thou hast examined the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Understand first.
That's right.
Then rebuke.
Then you won't be speculating.
Yeah. You got to understand the situation first. You have to understand both sides, everything that's going on. Then you make the correction. That's why in Matthew 18, it talks about if thy brother don't hear, bring a witness.
Mm-hmm.
Because the witness has to hear. He can't just hear from you. You have to bring him. to that person. You can't just go to him and tell him what happened. You have to bring the witness to that person.
Oh, my goodness.
He has to hear, first examine it, because the person that bought him could be the wrong one.
Exactly.
And then he's going to rebuke and make correction.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. But that's the point. But let's read. Go back. You know, there's more on that?
Yeah, yeah, there's more on the other one.
No, keep reading it.
Three.
No, that's where I want to go. Yeah, I thought you meant chapter 11.
No, we're done with that.
All right. So, 3 verse 25.
It says, without eyes, thou shalt want light.
So, I always say it this way because it's the best way to say it. It's just like a man that is blind. A man that is blind wish he could see.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It don't get no darker than that. You know what I'm saying? So, read on.
And basically, if you don't understand something, you want to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, sometimes you end up speculating because you want to know, damn, why he did that.
Exactly.
So if you don't go to the person, you're going to end up with you're going to come up with your own conclusion.
Exactly.
But here it goes.
But you're still blind, though. But read on.
But this is what you end up doing.
Mm-hmm.
Profess not the knowledge, therefore, that thou hast not.
Yeah, because a blind man can't say he see if he really can't see.
Yeah. And if you don't really know, you can't say you know.
Yeah.
Can't speculate.
No, you can't do that. How a blind man look, check this out. How a blind man look with his cane and his dog and say, yo, I can see, and drop his cane and get rid of his dog, and he walking, and he still knowing damn well he can't see.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. What's going to happen to that blind man? He's going to get hit by a damn car or fall off a cliff because he really can't see. So stop lying because you can't see. So don't profess the things. It says, profess not the knowledge thereof that thou hast not.
You know, this is going out to all the churches.
Exactly.
You know, anybody out there that's trying to judge.
And that's doing that, passing judgment.
You got to know both sides of the story. You got to sit down and make diligent inquisition before you can pass a judgment.
Could I read this last one before
we go? And in the scriptures, there's no suspension in the scriptures.
Yeah, evil suspicion and
you're suspended for a month.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
Suspended for 3 months.
Yeah, you're suspended for 90 days.
Where's that in the scriptures? That's man. Bad. That's the doctrine of the elders.
Well, you have to show me that scripture, man. Maybe I don't understand. Just maybe I haven't read it. I don't know.
The thing, the judgment is to make brothers and sisters one again. That's mm-hmm. what the judgment on how you're going to make everybody one again. And if they don't want to be one again, then somebody got to go. If somebody's doing evil and don't want to be brothers, then they can't be part of the congregation. We're most of the time about to stop
this
on this.
This is the last one then.
What you got?
Verse 21, and then we close out.
All right, verse 21. Seek not out the things that are too hard for thee, neither search out the things that are above thy strength.
Yeah, it's above your strength when you don't really know what's going on. You're speculating and you're assuming. The Most High didn't reveal that to you, man. You can't speculate or assume until the information is clearly viewed and seen and understood.
Exactly.
That's when you know. It's in the spirit of Christ. And with that, we say, hopefully, Lord's will, that everyone was edified. And with that, we give all praises and all glory to the Most High and His Son, Christ. Shalom.
Shalom.
If you would like to contact us or learn more about the Body of Christ Church, you may do so by calling, emailing, or by visiting our website. Our telephone number is 1-877-871-1712. Our email address is bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Ureach is the letter U, followed by the word reach. So that's bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Our website, thedocc.com, contains our telephone number and email address, as well as audio and video biblical lessons and other information geared toward edification in repentance and good works. Again, our website address is thedocc.com, so please feel free to connect with us today.